ESPN. Talking sports on your ride home. Powered by Reuben James Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Periwinkles in downtown Burlington. Visit them online at periwinkles.com. Here's Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. How you doing, Rich? Happy Valentine's Day, my friend.
Well, thanks. And the boy is back. Yes. So we have a group hug.
A group hug. It's Valentine's
Day.
Team
is back together.
Yes. You know, I said to Brady right before, I go, okay, get that song. Cupid, draw back your bow. I don't know. You can't find that, Brady? Who sings that?
I've never even heard of it.
Who sings that, Rich?
I feel like that. Was it Frankie Valli in the
first? No, it wasn't Frankie Valli.
All right, I'll look it up. Hold your...
Someone please tell us. 655-6672. Come on. What do you mean you're looking it up? You should know that. How do you not know that song?
Because it was before my time.
So what? So was World War II, but I know about that. Cupid... Draw back your bow. How could you not know
Sam
that?
Sam Cooke.
There you go. It's Sam Cooke. Oh, my goodness.
That's what
Seriously,
I meant.
Seriously, we should be playing that for 2 hours today on a loop.
Ugh.
Should be on a loop.
There's a ratings grabber. What's
wrong with playing that?
You make it sound like that's the only love song ever written. 90% of all music is a stupid love song.
I love today. Let me tell you, I absolutely love Valentine's Day today.
Why do I dare ask? Go ahead.
Let me tell you, one, because I'm a romantic at heart, really. Ugh. One, two, because I don't have to do anything today. And what? Let me tell you why.
It's like every other day.
You know that Lithuanian kid, Borad, that we have staying at our house?
Porzingis or whatever.
His parents are in town and are coming to dinner tonight. My wife is cooking dinner, making dessert, doing everything. And I keep saying, hey, can I take you out for steak tonight? We got Borat's parents coming to town. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. Hey, can I take you out, get you some roses, and take you someplace nice? We got Borat's parents coming. Oh, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting it. Like every time I say, can I buy you a new car? We got Borat. I mean, no matter what I say, we got the kids' parents. Perfect. I don't have to do anything.
So in other words, you just sit around in your underwear like you do every
day. No, I got to wear pants. Okay. I do have to wear pants. That's the only drawback on that.
So. I made reservations a week ago. I was on top of things.
Oh my good. Of course, you're 27.
Why does that not surprise me? You'll get
Shocking.
Over, you'll get over that.
Yeah. 2 years from now, you won't even remember Valentine's Day.
But she doesn't know where we're going yet, so I can't say it. But all I can say is I'm very excited to go to this place.
Well, the fact that you have to make it a week ahead of time. That's a little bit nuts. That's
and I also crazy. Thought maybe you were celebrating Valentine's yesterday since you just blew us off.
Yeah. I told you a week ago I was going to be out on Monday.
No, you said if it snows, if it doesn't snow.
Because I wasn't sure if I could travel home in snowstorms.
Rich comes in at 3 o'clock going, where's Brady today?
I had no idea. Completely
forgot
about it.
You did say that. You had no idea.
Yeah, it was pretty much chaos around here.
Yeah, you know, let's not focus, on all the things that usually need to get done that didn't get done with him in my absence.
Well, I guess it sort of made us appreciate you for a change.
No, not really. We just didn't do it. That's all. We just didn't do it.
But my
forget about that.
I've been here for 5 months. That was my first day off.
Yeah, that sounds like radio.
I think I get one every once in a while.
Welcome to radio. I never get a day off.
You get a couple of more years, you'll get a week off.
You never get a day off, Arnie. You try to turn everything into a day off. You're like, okay,
it's Christmas. Let's get the day off. No, what are you talking about?
3 to 6. Every day is a day off.
4 to 6.
You're here at 3.
Arnie will say,
like an extra hour. Easy there, big boy.
3 hours.
Arnie will come in and go, the Premier League first round of the playoffs is going on. Are we off the air so we can carry the game?
Yeah, exactly. I'm waiting ahead to see when Vermont plays in the NCAA tournament. See if we're going to do that.
Forget that. You're looking forward to Big Ten quarterfinals. Yeah. Are we off the air?
Why are we carrying that?
You want to carry everything.
I'll carry it. I'm a sports fan, for crying out loud. All right, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. By the way, if you're doing anything fun or sporty or anything like that, though, sports and Valentine really just don't kind of mix, though, do they?
They do today. Pitchers and catchers reported today.
Well, what does that have to do with love and romance?
Well, I love baseball.
Yeah. That's like a holiday for you. That's like a holiday for you two guys. When I was younger, I liked the whole spring training and all that stuff. Now I'm like, you're still like a month and a half away. It's just too far away.
All I remember about Valentine's as a kid was is the one day of the year, especially in elementary school, where my crush would actually acknowledge my existence by sending me one. She'd send a "Be my Valentine." I'm like, damn right, I'll be your Valentine.
But everybody in the class got one.
Correct. Thanks. You had to remind me.
But like, that was great because you'd go in elementary school and everyone would give each other Valentines, right. And you'd get like sweet tarts or someone would give candy and things like that.
I think she likes me. She said, have a nice Valentine's Day.
See, Rich, you got
to. And then she wouldn't talk to me again for the rest of the year.
Rich, you got to take it a step further than that. Like, can I lend you a pencil? Like, you want to go on the monkey bars? Like, you got to take it further than
that. But that would mean I'd have to actually talk to a woman.
Yeah, you don't want to be doing that. Not at that age.
Some things never change.
Not at that age. Oh, okay. Well, you know, is this a big holiday for you, that spring training and all that? Is that like
absolutely.
They meant Valentine's Day.
No, not Valentine's
Day.
Seriously, do you guys? Because I know people are all geeked up, all the Red Sox fans. Yeah. Because, you know, you don't have that World Series like you were supposed to have it last year. So I...
You're right, we haven't had enough World Series lately.
Wow, yeah. You said you're going to start with that, Mr. Patriot fan, and we're going to start going turning
no,
into
no, no.
that.
No, this is about baseball. I believe we've got three of them this millennium. So.
Well, Brian Cashman said that the Red Sox are the team to beat in the AL East. And, you know, I got to say, first of all, I don't think he's just saying that.
No,
they are the
not.
Team to beat. Though, you know, coming from, you know, the Yankee guy, I don't know if I'm a Yankee fan, I'm too appreciative of that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but is he wrong? I mean, it's to me, this is blatantly obvious. I mean, who else...
Well, they're
Toronto
not that
lost half their roster. I mean, they're going to have to count
well,
on
wait
pitching.
Wait a minute.
The Yankees are coming around with youth. They're making the right moves.
The overrun on the Red Sox are 90.5. I think the Yankees were 88. So there's only a two-game.
Yankees were 83.5.
83. So there's only a six-game, seven-game separation.
New
there.
Vegas Sports, but Porfada or whatever it's called out there, you'd know better than me, made the Red Sox, they moved them up to, I think it was 9-1 with the Cubs to win the World Series.
Yeah. I mean, but it doesn't mean that the Yankees are that far behind.
No, but I'm just saying, I think that's a really simple statement to call the Red Sox the favorites going in as things are right now in the AFC in the AL East. Yeah,
to
the
say they're the team to beat is just a statement of fact. They won the division last year, so as of right now, they are the team that everyone is chasing.
And added, I don't know, a Cy Young candidate year after year. So yeah, I mean, and I'm not saying that as a Sox guy. They are the clear prohibitive favorites right now.
Right. I want to know, when do we start? When do you start getting excited about the Red Sox? Because
a month ago?
I'm fired up. You know me in baseball.
But when I bring up the Celtics, it's just 10 games in. It's just 20 games in. It's just 30 games in. Are we going to pay attention in April, May, June, after All-Star break? When are you going to say, well, let's just wait till we get to August and then we'll get in? You
well,
know?
Getting to the Celtics, I find myself staying up as late as necessary despite the fact that the alarm clock goes off at 3:45. I cannot stop watching them right now. The night that things turned around for me and I said, all right, this is legit, these guys mean business, was that Utah win the other night. I sat there and watched that entire Dallas game last night. They're missing three key guys in their lineup, and I'm going, this team is really good. And then Kevin Love, it's announced today, is out for 7 weeks. They actually have a shot at the number one seed from the East. Not that that's going to matter, but still.
There's a difference, Arnie, between when are we going to get excited versus when are we going to get nervous, which is what you were saying about the if the Red Sox come out and go 10-15 in April, we're going to sit here and say the same thing. Rich, look, it's just April. There's 5 months left of the regular season. You don't get worried. You can't – I have a rule. You cannot bury your baseball team's season until Memorial Day at the earliest, and you really can't call them out of it until the All-Star break.
But the pressure is going to be enormous on – and I'm looking forward to talking to Tom Caron about this on Sale – And on price. I think there's going to be a huge amount of... If they come out and stink for their first three or four starts, you know the media and the fans are climbing all over them early.
By the way, any Red Sox fans actually plan trips around, going down the spring training, going down to Florida, just going to, you know, getting away from the snow? Because we have a lot of listeners that actually they say they'll get their car. How far of a drive is, because you're rich, you're the driving expert.
Yeah, I make that drive about every other year.
How long does it take you to get down?
I go to pretty much every stadium except Fort Myers.
What is that, like a 24-hour drive?
Yeah, that's a haul. It takes 2 days. I usually make it to about
12
Maryland
and 12,
or
yeah.
So.
Do something like that.
Virginia, I can usually get to on the first day and then load up the next morning and do it again.
When I was playing college baseball, we would ride in the bus
all
the way from Oswego. It's like near Syracuse down to Fort Pierce, Florida, and Clearwater and
heaven.
And all these places. Yeah, that bus was not heaven.
No, I bet it wasn't.
You try being in that bus for a week and a half sitting in the back near the bathroom. You try that.
You ever tried 95 from south from, say, Stamford, Connecticut, all the way to Richmond, Virginia? I mean, you think they drive like nuts up here. That's like 900 miles of hell.
By the way, what's the better experience, Florida, Arizona, or no difference between the two? Really?
They are completely different.
Oh, get out of here.
I've done them both in the last 2 years, and I'm not sure where I'll end up this year, but I'll end up somewhere, probably Arizona. I did Arizona last year. Arizona is full of cookie cutter, brand new modern stadiums with no history whatsoever.
Oh, you don't like them, huh?
Giant sweaty fields.
Right, right.
Florida is much older stadiums situated in the middle of towns. Cities, you know, Bradenton, Clearwater, places like that.
Yeah, but it's a hall to get to all those places.
They're in the fabric of the neighborhoods of these cities, and most of the fans that go are older, and they love their baseball.
Well,
Arizona, they don't really care.
They just, it's anybody, yeah. Well, you know what, a lot of people, though, they come, they're tourists, they come for the games, they come from street training, stuff like that.
And in Arizona, the big difference for me, other than the Cubs at Sloan Park, and I would say the Dodgers, The parks are two-thirds empty for these games.
Wow.
Florida's a tough ticket for any game. It doesn't matter who's playing. There's a lot more passion for it. Maybe it's just because Arizona is a fairly new scenario. They just started playing spring training there, 25 years ago? It hasn't grown yet.
It's not that new to me, though.
Yeah, it's not
Well, no,
that
it's because it's your whole lifetime. But, I mean, Florida's had spring training since 20, 30, 40?
Yeah. But a lot of teams, not a lot, I guess some teams have migrated over to Arizona.
Oh, yeah. About half of them.
Well, the Dodgers. So
Dodgers, they were at Vero Beach for the longest
time. But there's just a lot more history, and the parks are further apart, too. You have to road trip a little bit to get from park to park in Florida.
Yeah,
everything
in
Arizona,
is
right there in the Phoenix region.
If you want to get in, 802-655-6672, 655-6672. All right, stop wasting time, Rich, because you know what I'm upset about, and that's Tom Brady. Yeah,
Tom Brady. Oh, you mean the world champion quarterback?
Yeah, the world champion quarterback, the guy who has almost all the money in the world and whatever's left over his wife makes because she's a supermodel out there. So between the two of them, I don't even know how much they make a year, to be honest with you, with endorsements and all that stuff. What would you estimate? What would you guess that the two of them make? Brady, what would you guess that the two of them make per year? I'm going to guess $100 million.
Oh, at least. Giselle makes that.
I say Giselle makes like 50.
I mean, Brady makes what? Like 20?
Yeah.
Because he took 20. Pay cuts. He's like 20. Yeah. So
I'd say 100 is fair.
100's fair.
But it's Giselle.
Businesses and stuff like that, right? I mean, there's all kinds of businesses and ventures that he has. Now we find out that Tom Brady is doing, I don't even know what a private signing is. It sounds like you have to have a private club or something like that. He's going to be doing a private signing. And it's going to cost people some serious dough if you want to get something signed. And I find this absolutely disgusting that Tom Brady is charging for his signature. If you want to get a trading card signed, you're a little kid. Hey, Daddy, Tom Brady is signing cards. I can't afford to go to the games, but I got a card. I'd love Tom Brady to sign it. Well, little Johnny, why don't we go down there since we can't afford to go to the games and we can't afford to get a Patriot t-shirt and we can't afford a Patriot hat. But my goodness, we could take the bus down there, walk 4 miles in the snow, and I'll have him sign that card.
Ugh.
Oh, and it's only $499. How about that? Isn't that nice of Tom Brady,
I'm sure if it was the Dolphins, none of this would ever happen, although the prices would be a lot lower because no one cares about them.
Oh, and it doesn't stop there. Wait a minute, Rich.
Can I defend a little bit of this?
Well, only if you want a bargain. If you want a full-size helmet, it's $849.
Oh, there's your Valentine's
gift.
Here's
the part that really bothers me. Here's the extra kicker. It's bad enough he's got the charge, but he's trying to go ahead and act like we're stupid. Why don't you just charge $850? We're not people buying it for $19.99 and we don't know that it's $20. $849, we don't know it's $850? What are you trying to make us look like? Oh, boy, what a bargain that is, Rich. It's under $850. Let me tell you something. If you're a Patriot fan, you should be disgusted that a guy who makes all the money in the world is charging for his signature. I find it just offensive, Rich. I really do.
Is this going to be another summer full of Patriot jealousy?
No, it doesn't have to be jealousy, Rich. It's disgusting. It is disgusting that he's doing this. It's absolutely baloney.
Okay.
He's not Johnny Manziel. He's not some former retired guy that needs the money. This is embarrassing.
Brady, how much time do I have to reply?
You go ahead, reply.
Seconds?
No, reply.
You have
go
about
go.
A minute and a half.
First of all, Tom Brady has nothing to do with any cost set for this autograph session.
I understand
the people
that.
Involved in this, the memorabilia and autograph hounds who are a disgrace. They are a disgrace.
But he put himself there.
But I will say, sort of heading towards your direction a little bit of not being happy about this, he can control that.
Yes, he can.
He can say, look, I don't want to charge anybody for this. He can do that. I understand, but the problem is then the whole thing doesn't happen. There's got to be some money involved.
Rich,
believe me, I hate this.
Rich,
I really do.
Stephon Marbury made shoes, made sure he charged people $19.99 for the shoes. Look at the LeBron shoes. Look at the Kobe shoes. Look at the Steph Curry shoes. $100, $130. Athletes don't have to be like this.
Yep.
This is a slap in the face to the consumers, a slap in the face to the fans, and this is really a slap in the face to the Patriot fans.
But this
the young
is not
ones.
Tom Brady's
it is.
Fault.
He put himself, he's involved with this company, Rich.
But what about Pete Rose? I mean, how disgraceful is that guy.
Pete Rose would run out of baseball, and that's why he needs the money. That's simple. Hey, Tom Brady doesn't need the money, Rich. He doesn't need the money.
No, I understand that, and I'm uncomfortable. First, I was obviously the Trump Brady thing has made me. Now that's the second time he's made me a little uncomfortable. Guess what? It doesn't make squat of a difference. I still love the guy.
Thank you
for making my life better.
I totally understand.
But I also understand that that's an uncomfortable situation. I don't like the fact that he's participating in something that's charging $500 for an autograph.
Let's get a quick call. 655-6672. Is it Ken in South Burlington? Did I get that right, Ken? You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Ken?
I wanted to agree that Tom Brady charging $500 for an autograph is just plain ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. It's a slap in the face to all the Patriot fans out there, is it not, Ken?
No, see, that's where you take it.
That was
a quick call. Yeah. No, but that's, immediately, this is what you did, too, with the Trump thing and the White House visit.
Yeah.
It's a complete embarrassment for all Patriots fans. I'm sorry that I was born a Patriots
fan. He doesn't have enough courtesy to the Patriots.
But I'm not embarrassed by it. I think it's wrong.
He doesn't have enough courtesy to the Patriot fans to say, I'm not going to charge everybody $500 for a card, $800 for a flat item, $820 for something bigger, $850 for a jersey, $1,400 for some artwork, $2,000 for original artwork, this, that, and the other. I mean, I feel like I'm reading a Chinese menu. This is absolutely embarrassing, disgusting. You should be ashamed of yourself, Tom Brady. Let me go to Sean. Sean, good afternoon. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good, Sean. Talk to us.
Well, I hate to admit this, Ernie, but I usually disagree with absolutely everything you have to say. But in this situation, as a diehard Patriots fan, this is completely out of Tom Brady's character. And I have no idea. I was absolutely disgusted when I first heard this story this morning. The only thing I can think of is Tom Brady's going to donate some of this money to charity or something like that. All right, I'll let you go, guys.
I appreciate that. How about he donate his own money to charity instead of raising money like this?
Yeah, like he doesn't. I mean, come on.
If you want to get in, 802-655-6672, 655-6672. We'll touch more on that. We got to get to what's going on with Kevin Love and tie that to the Celtics. I know we have some Patriot stuff to get to, too. It's a busy show today.
655-6672. The Huddle is back on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, why do we got a line open at 802-655-6672, 655-6672. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. We were talking about Tom Brady.
Yes, let me know when I have a chance here, because I've got plenty to say.
Let me tell you something. It's an embarrassment. First of all, this is embarrassing for Tom Brady. I think it makes him look bad. Okay,
I'll give you that.
I don't, and if he is donating the money, which it doesn't say he is, but even if he was donating 100% of the money, then just donate your own money. Don't take it from us, because we want to get something signed, and then take that money and donate it. Just donate it from your own pocket. I know he does that. I'm sure him and Giselle do plenty of philanthropy work. There's no doubt about that. But I think it's embarrassing to charge the Patriot fans that root for you, that buy your jersey, that go to your games, that support you in every way possible with the money they can afford. But it's not great economic times, contrary to what you believe. I think it's disgusting.
You do understand how this works,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wanted to say that to him since he always says it to me.
Because what you're about to say is about to be right. But it's also not just Patriot fans. There are Michigan fans, there are NFL collectors, Super Bowl collectors that want Tom Brady's autograph.
He's spinning this as only Arnie can do.
Go ahead.
And
This is a good thing. This is a great thing. Congratulations.
Congratulations. The memorabilia guy calls up Brady's people.
Yeah.
Says, how much is it going to cost to get an autograph session for 3 hours with Tom Brady at blah, blah, blah casino?
You can't afford me. I'm not doing that.
Right.
I don't do that.
I mean, think about how expensive Tom Brady is going to be right now.
Right.
The timing could not be more lucrative for him.
Right.
His handlers, not Tom Brady. He knows nothing about it yet. His handlers, his people, his agents, so on and so forth, his marketing gurus, say $1 million. So what is the memorabilia guy saying? Well, that's going to be a pretty expensive autograph then. So it all works out. Everybody, they have to make a profit off of this.
No, you don't.
A big profit, or they won't do it.
If you're Tom Brady, you don't do it.
But it's not Tom Brady doing it. It's all the people around
him. What is it, creepy Tom Brady signing the autographs? What's wrong with you? Tom Brady, just like he has commercial offers, he does it. He can turn down, I don't want to do chunky soup. Doesn't have to take every commercial out there. It's his image.
And oh, by the way that this particular signing works is that it's a private signing. Basically, no one's going to be in the room with Tom Brady. He's going to sign the autographs. People have already bought them at these prices, and they just get mailed out. They just get mailed out.
Oh, are you
really?
Serious?
They never see him?
Wow!
No, so he just signs a bunch of stuff, and the place mails it to the people. But at the same time, you, the fan, don't have to purchase the autograph. Go to training camp next year if you want it. Go to his charity foundation. Right. Go to his celebrity golf tournament that he probably has. You can get Tom Brady's autograph any number of ways if you want to. Wait outside the parking lot of Gillette Stadium if you want it.
I'm just going to take you on that. Can I just say something on that? Let's just say Tom Brady's sitting at a table at a football card collector thing, which is you see a lot of athletes out there. Can you imagine a kid coming up? Can I get your autograph, Mr. Brady? I see him outside. Yeah, come back in my training camp in a couple of months in Wisconsin.
I'll give you to a kid outside of a restaurant or something. You don't think he'd do that?
No, because he's charging everybody else but you, Rich, right? He's going to charge everybody else.
Some six-year-old kid stops him and says, can I have your autograph? You think he's going to go, get out of my face? Really?
You are
embellishing this to a ridiculous extreme.
Rich, I'm not embellishing it because he's charging for his autograph.
Right, but
he's charging for his autograph.
You know, yeah, but these people aren't normal humans. It's a bunch of sleazy memorabilia people who are just trying to capitalize.
You know, you hit it right on the head. Why would you want to associate with a bunch of sleazy memorabilia people when you have all the money and a supermodel wife? Let me ask you something. Does Giselle, and I don't even know fashion. Whatever the best shoes are. Suppose she said, "Oh, I want to be with the company with the fake shoes." You know what I mean? With the fake Yeezys or whatever the hell they're called. You know what I mean? Like there was fake Varnays. You understand? You want to be associated? She doesn't want to be associated with something bad. It ruins her image. Why would Tom Brady want to be associated with people like this?
The only thing I can agree with you on anything you've said, I started agreeing a little bit and now you've headed away, is the fact that Tom Brady could have avoided signing off on this. That's the only thing I agree with. Everything else is hogwash.
Thank you on that.
Again, you the fan, Arnie, you say, oh, he's going to tell a kid who sees him to come back in 3 months or whatever. But even so, that's not what this is. This is people who have said, okay, I am paying in advance for Tom Brady's autograph. Yep. He then signs it.
Right.
The company mails it to them. It's not like somebody has traveled 3,000 miles solely to meet him and then is being rejected. Right.
When you said Tom Brady isn't even going to be in the room, that completely changed the whole story.
It makes it worse.
It does. What it does is it's a bunch of sleazy memorabilia people.
And why be associated?
You need to stop saying that, too.
Really?
Sleazy.
They're in it for money. They don't want Tom Brady's helmet. They want to sell it for five times the cost.
If it was worth $7,000, wouldn't the place be charging $7,000 for it? Wouldn't the place want to make the money? Because the sleazy memorabilia person... Isn't that what the guy who's charging this price is, memorabilia person?
This isn't little Joey's dad saying, oh, he wants a $400 helmet, so I'm going to order it. Do you think it is? I think it's a bunch of people who want to make a profit.
Somebody wants to buy something for $5,000, and then when Tom Brady dies, sell it for $70,000?
I can't believe this.
I believe anything. Yeah, these are the creepy people who stand out and wait for autographs.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. Tom Brady and Johnny Manziel are the same. Wasn't Mansell saving his picture for $50, right?
Now you've completely gone off.
They say
that was
rumor.
False, but no, he sold. He was
not charging for pictures.
He was selling something.
Johnny Mansell and Tom Brady are the same person. You heard it here.
Let's get some calls. No, let's not.
Hung up. They're so disgusted.
Well,
because
you were talking so long. 655-6672, 655-6672. If you want to go and get on in. But congratulations, Patriot fans. Your superstar is just associating.
That's right. It's all our fault.
Hold on. Finish your thought, Arnie. Then I got to go off on Rich.
Associating with selling his signature.
I'm going to go off on Rich.
Okay. Yeah.
You always say that, and I always bite my tongue, that anyone who wants an autograph that's over 7 years old is somehow the scum of the earth.
Right.
And people who hang out at Lake Monster games and want autographs are the scum
creepy.
Okay. I'll tell you this. My cousin is 40 years old.
Uh-oh.
And he's one of those guys.
Yeah.
And do you know what the reasoning is? Is it is his goal, just like, have you ever collected anything?
Oh, sure. I collected baseball cards.
Okay.
I had no interest in creeping on people for autographing them. But
here's what happens. Here's how it goes, and I'll inform you of this. My cousin, like many other people, their goal, their collection, is to complete. My cousin wants the all-time roster of Angels players. He wants every player that's ever played in the majors for the Angels.
Okay. That's fine.
He wants every player.
That's fine.
Okay. So, you know, when you don't get Mike Trout when he's Mike Trout. You get Mike Trout when he's 18 and wants to sign. So that's part of the reason.
You're talking about autographed thing.
Yes.
I thought you were just talking about collecting Angels
cards. No. He wants an autograph of every player that has ever appeared for the Angels. Mm-hmm. So you don't get Mike Trout when Mike Trout is Mike Trout, the two-time MVP. You get Mike Trout when he's 18 years old.
I think he's an exception to the rule. I think a lot of those guys are in for money. I understand the Lake Monster guys. Those guys aren't in it. They're not selling those things. But if those guys get famous, they might.
Maybe. So what happens is also this. These guys will... My cousin has an elaborate network where he's got one guy... You know, he's the Cal League guy. He's got one guy in the New York Penn League. So basically, he'll send... Guys will they'll just trade. That's why they get nine of them. They keep one for themselves and send them off to all these other people. And he gets.
Don't you think that's? I don't know. No, this is going to come out wrong. But for a 40-year-old guy, I mean, I gave that up when I was 11.
When you have a goal to complete a set like that. Same people collect
collectors.
Things.
Yeah,
people collect things. It could be stamps. It could be you want to try. As many different kinds of craft beer as there is. Everybody has
that's
something.
That's Rich's thing.
That is truly not
about
true.
That.
You know I drink the same beer every time I drink.
If you want to get in, 655-6672, 655-6672. Taking it back to Tom Brady, though, and the whole collecting thing, I don't really care so much what you want to do with it. You're paying for it. I just think it was wrong that he's charging so much money.
He's not charging anything. His people are charging. He is
that
an indirect
he's allowing
in
these
all
people
this.
To charge
yes,
that much
is.
Is
that
for something
is
like that.
I'll continue
it's,
to agree
and
with
it's
that.
No different than Steph Curry saying, I want my tennis shoes to be at a certain price, or LeBron James saying, I want my tennis
they
shoes.
They can control that.
Or,
they don't
or,
often.
Or,
but yeah.
Yeah, no, they do. They control it a lot.
I Steph Curry, that. I mean, you, those guys care about how much their
oh,
sneakers sell.
Oh, yeah. That's a big right. thing now. That's
okay,
big,
I don't know that.
That's a big thing now because inner city kids just can't afford it,
right?
Rich.
And, but you know, that, what do the players care about that? Isn't it still $150?
Well, Stephon Marbury made sure his sneakers were like 20 bucks.
But that was his own company.
That's one guy.
Well, but still, LeBron doesn't have his own company. Come on now, guys. All right, let's get to some calls. I know there's a bunch of people on hold. Who's next up, Brady? Because I pressed the button and my whole thing is messed up here.
Andrew from Fairfax.
You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN. Go ahead, Richard.
All right. So
Andrew.
30 years ago, I'm 10 years old, and I'm paying $5, $10 to get signatures at card shows for Red Sox players like Todd Benzinger, right? So this is not a new phenomenon. It's been going on forever. With that being said, I'm going to hope, no different than the ridiculous conversation that was had yesterday, that all of this is a result of the football season now being over.
What, you think this is not a big thing? You think that he should just be able to charge and you're okay with it?
Absolutely.
Really? You don't think it makes him put it in a bad light?
Arnie, you got a national weekend show. You got a national weekend show, Arnie.
Yes.
You work for part-time?
Yes.
With 101.3?
Yeah, but I wouldn't be working part-time if I was making $100 million.
But who's to say who makes what?
But I'm not going to make my money off you. Let's say I charge you guys $10 per phone call. Huh? How about if I do something like that if I want to make extra money? I mean, come on now. I mean, this guy has all the money in the world. Why would he take it out on fans? Because it's really fans, a lot of the fans that want this guy's autograph. Why charge them for it?
Why does James Dolan charge the price of tickets to your beloved New York Knicks?
Well, okay.
And you act like Tom Brady's the only person who's ever done this.
No,
I mean,
but
every professional athlete
beneath,
sets these things
it's
up.
It's beneath him, though. It's beneath him is
Why?
What I'm telling you.
Well, okay.
I let me ask you a question.
A huge,
if
rich
I told
player.
You, hey, Rich, let's go down to the hotel because Donald Trump's going to be there signing autographs, and it's only $150 an autograph.
That's a bad example.
Why? You'd say he's the president. What the hell is he doing signing autographs?
When I went to the Super Bowl, when I was was in Houston, the bar right next to where I was staying, the hotel, Odell Beckham Jr. came there for a party. They had to pay Odell Beckham Jr. $25,000 to show up to the event. And as a result, they charged the consumers like a $50 cover charge just to get in. It happens all the time.
I'm okay with that.
That's exactly the Brady. That's exactly what's happening.
No, I'm okay. No.
That's exactly the same thing.
No, it's not the same thing.
The reason that they can suddenly make some money. No. Yeah, but if you're gonna get Odell Beckham in there and he's going to charge you $25,000, you have to make that money back somehow.
How many real Patriot fans went down to the Super Bowl in Houston, Texas, okay? And how many real Patriot fans want Tom Brady's autograph? There's the difference. Real Patriot fans don't have the money to go down to Houston, Texas, and then go to a party where, you know, where Tom Brady is or Odell Beckham
is.
Right.
They can't, but the fact is if you're going to give him $25,000 to walk in, you've got to make that up. You can't just throw $25,000 away.
All right, where are we going to? Is it Anthony from Plattsburgh? Anthony's next up. Anthony, you're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Anthony?
Not much. I kind of agree with Arnie. You would think Tom Brady would care a little bit more about how people view him and stuff, especially with all the things surrounding the Patriots and cheating and him with the deflated football. So to let this company do this kind of, it does kind of look bad for him, the way he's going to let this company charge money like that for his autograph.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Anthony, from the very beginning of this debate half an hour ago, I have agreed that Tom Brady probably could have looked at this and said, maybe this isn't a good idea.
I'm gonna give you the kicker. How about it? Remember when I told you it's $500 for this and $1,000 for this and $2,000 for this? How about I told you it's $750 if you want him to sign deflated footballs? Would you find that funny? Would you say, well, it's not him charging, it's the company charging?
You find that funny?
Are we going to Zach? Is Zach on the line? Zach, good evening. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Zach?
Hey, it's Jack, actually. Hey,
pretend you're Zach, though.
You got three letters.
Go ahead,
right?
Jack. Okay, yes. Close enough, yes.
So my all-time favorite player is Darryl Green, and I got to see him play in his last season and out of Foxborough. Rich, you remember you could meet the players outside,
right?
The away team on their way.
Yep.
And I had his rookie card, and he signed it. It's one of my favorite things I have. And meeting Darryl Green, he signed his rookie card for me. It was great.
And now that you would have to pay for, you wouldn't be able to get stuff like that.
Well, yeah, but I remember when I was a kid, Hulk Canseco, when they were the Bass Brothers, he did try to charge a little kid outside the stadium like $50 for an autograph.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that. I appreciate the call. He's absolutely right. I'm not saying Tom Brady would do that, but hey.
You know what? He had a chance to meet his hero. One time, I assume it was the Redskins, were in town, and he got a chance to wait outside. I'm talking about people that stand out there night after night after night and wait for these 19-year-old kids to come out of that locker room in left field under the scoreboard. And they've got full-blown notebooks with pictures and life stories of all these 19-year-old kids that they're standing out there waiting for.
One autograph Brady doesn't have, and that would be Tom Caron of Nesson. He's coming up next. Stick around for that. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on what.
All right, that was a long enough break. Now back to the sports talk with the huddle. Here's Rich and Arnie.
All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN. Rich, let's go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every week, it's our buddy Tom Caron from Nesson. How you doing, Tom?
Doing great. How you doing, guys?
First of all, how in the world are you in Fort Myers? I could have sworn I just heard you at the Garden last night.
You did. That was the quick turnaround. Did the bean pot last night. Harvard's finally winning one for the first time in nearly a quarter century. And here today taping Red Sox from Fort Myers under the sun in the palm trees. It's all good.
Talk about a shock going from a foot and a half of snow to Fort Myers in literally hours. Obviously, you have better luck with airplanes than I do.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we were going over to the airport this morning after a late night last night, and a couple people telling us, yeah, good luck. We've been trying to get on a plane since Wednesday, and we're still waiting. One thing I've learned is over the years of travel, you know, if you get snowed out on Wednesday, you're not getting on a plane Thursday. You're going to keep Thursday right on schedule. You know, you got to go to the back of the line. So I was lucky that today was a good day to travel.
Did you say a quarter of a century for Harvard? Is that what you said?
24 years, 1993.
Woo. Yeah. And wow. They're usually pretty good.
One player on the Harvard roster who was alive last time they won it.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And it's funny because they're usually pretty good.
They've been really good for a long time. Yeah. It's just been, you know, BU and BC have dominated. One thing that used to hurt the Ivy schools is they'd have a big academic break in the middle of the, you know, the holiday break ever takes, but theirs was a semester break that was a bigger time away, and they used to not, the Ivy schools couldn't play because of the school rules, and they finally relaxed that a little while back. It's not as bad, but they used to, like, you know, miss 2-3 weeks of the season and then come back right before the bean pot, and they get rolled over by the other school.
Jeez. All right, what are you more excited about, the Bruin 3-game winning streak or getting down there for spring training? Tell us.
I'm looking at a palm tree, so I'm looking a lot. I'm a little more excited about being down here.
Come
but
on, three
like
in a row.
The Bruins are doing. Yeah. You got to like Butch Cassidy.
Yeah, you do, and it's interesting because I know Joe Sakic was sitting with Don Sweeney the other night, too, in a game, and, of course, that means the Landeskog trade rumors start flying around. Do you think they're going to make any moves before the deadline here?
Well, I'll throw it back to you with a question. You want to give up Brandon Carlo?
Not a chance. Not for Landeskog. You know, who has 11 goals and is
Listen, that's what Colorado's looking for, is a young defenseman. They're trying to fix up their defensive core. Could there be a deal there? Absolutely. But there's a lot of other teams talking to Colorado, too. Colorado's lost the season. They're a mess. They got to deal some assets. And the Bruins suddenly are looking like they'll be buyers instead of sellers.
You know, we saw the Colorado rumor. We actually talked about that. Any rumors were missing other than the Colorado one? Are the Bruins looking around in other places or what?
Well, yeah, and I'm missing them too, because right now they're being pretty quiet. Don Sweeney was at the Garden last night. You know, he had 4 draft picks in that championship game of the Bean Pot. And he had his phone up to his ear the entire night. He wasn't talking to me or anybody else. So, it's a weird time because they've got this big break here. They're not playing this week, and then they're on the road. I don't think they're back home until maybe the 27th or 28th. That's right before the March 1st trade deadline. So, you know, I told you guys a week ago that they'd have to win a few games and be back in contention. Well, they've won 3 in a row, and all of a sudden they look pretty good at home. So, maybe they are going to be a buyer. Maybe they do think they can not only make the playoffs, maybe steal around.
Now, when I was a kid growing up in Boston, whenever the Celtics and Bruins would hit the road, that meant the circus was going to be at the Boston Garden. Is it now like a 12-night Justin Bieber run or something?
No, this is the NHL's mandatory week off.
Right.
Everybody gets time off because of the World Cup of Hockey. And to me, it's ridiculous because this truncated schedule, I've talked to players over the past month, and, you know, they've been playing 3 games in 4 nights all the time, which they never usually do. Guys have been banged up around the league. Why don't you just let them keep that week off and spread the schedule out a little bit? This is crazy.
It's like spring break for the hockey players, I think. They'll head down to Fort Lauderdale. Be careful out there.
Oh, trust me, they are going places. Yeah. We tried to get Bruce Cassidy on the Bean Pot last night. We're like, he can talk. Yeah, no, he's on vacation.
Yeah.
All right, well, you coach 3 games and you take off.
Tom Garrett in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. Yanks are saying the Red Sox are the team to beat. Are they just going and giving lip service here, or do you think they believe that?
No, I think they do believe that. You should believe that. They spent the money. They got Chris Sale. I think everyone's going to say the Red Sox team to beat, although I think Cleveland has a pretty good argument that they're the team to beat. But other than that, those are the prohibitive favorites to certainly make the playoffs and go deep. And I'll tell you what, I'm at the ballpark. I've been talking to people around the ballpark, and Chris Sale is the real deal. Like, I'm hearing stories behind closed doors where he's telling, listen, I've been in all-star games. I've led league and stats. All I want to do is win a championship, and I finally got a chance to do it, so let's go. And when you got a new guy coming in with his resume and that kind of attitude, that makes a huge difference to a team that already won a division last year.
All right, let's get to the nuts and bolts here. If you're down there, we might as well talk about what's going to happen at catcher. Doesn't that seem like kind of the biggest battle heading into spring training?
Yeah, certainly it's one of the biggest battles. Blake Swihart is healthy. And today talked about how all he wants to do is be a catcher. They played around with him playing third base or left field last year, got injured playing left field. Now he's back as a catcher, and he's healthy. And I asked Dave Dombrowski that just a little while ago, and, you know, he said he's got options, you know, so Swihart's kind of the odd man out coming in because they could keep all 3 of them by having Swihart start the season in Pawtucket and catching every day. He said the only way that changes is if he clearly shows us that he's the best option to be our everyday catcher. And if he is, he'll make the team, options be damned. So I think right now you look at it as Sandy Leon and Christian Vasquez are the inside guys to be your major league catching tandem, and Swihart starts in Pawtucket but tries to work his way back into the mix.
Look, Tom, we all know it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, but you tell me who has to come out of the gate full steam ahead. Is it Price? Is it Sale? Or is it the team itself?
No, it's Pablo Sandoval.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's got to get the weight off. Yeah. He's got to show that he can. He's got to win
right.
that job. You know, he's lost the weight. He's ready to go. He's got to win that job, or Brock Holt's going to be your everyday third baseman like he took over left field last year.
Yeah, and you think there'll be any cameras around when he shows up?
I was asking somebody that a little while ago. I mean, they're going to watch his every move.
Yeah.
Every time a T-shirt looks like it's a little too tight, we're going to zoom in on his midsection. We'll be zooming in on his belt when he takes a swing to see if it explodes. I mean, this poor guy is going to be under scrutiny.
Now, then there's Eduardo Rodriguez. I guess he's going to test his right knee, and they're going to have a bullpen session down your way tomorrow. I mean, what's the feeling right now with him?
Well, you know, because camp started earlier this year because of the World Baseball Classic, there really is a feel that they can be even more cautious. You'd be cautious this time of year anyway, but there's a feeling that they can be even more cautious because they have almost an extra week. And you know, you still got Steven Wright coming back from the shoulder. You've still got the elbow injection, the platelet injection that Pomeranz got in the offseason, and then the knee for Erod. Those are all things that have set these guys back a little. I think the positive out of it is the Red Sox are probably going to tell Erod that he can't pitch in the World Baseball Classic, and that might be a blessing in disguise.
I wasn't done with Sandoval. I was coming up with great ideas because, you know, like sometimes you have bat day, you got ball day. I think, you know, for in honor of Sandoval, you should have like diet day where you have salads, they don't sell any burgers out there or something. I think that's a great idea.
Tofu at Fenway.
Yes.
As long as the media doesn't have to follow suit. We don't do that.
Can you imagine the press box full of tofu and tree bark?
Yeah. With a little note from Pablo saying, you know, diet with me.
Look what it did for me.
You mentioned
Sandoval is obviously a huge guy who needs to get off to a good start. But wouldn't you agree, David? I put David Price right there.
Yes, I was going to say that.
That guy cannot have five crappy or mediocre starts to begin the season.
Yeah,
and I do think that there's some of that, you know, first-year syndrome that big-name pitchers signing big-money contracts deal with. Porcello was bad his first year, won the Cy Young his second year. John Lester struggled his first year with the Cubs, pretty darn good his second year. You know, that seems to happen a lot. It happened to Lackey when he came here to Boston. So, you know, Price's season wasn't horrible, but it wasn't as good as he thinks he can be. So I think there is pressure on him, but I think he believes that he's going to be able to come back and have a really good second year with a more comfortable surrounding in Fort Myers and in Boston.
So I assume the bride isn't with you down there, and it is Valentine's Day. What's the plan?
Well, you got to plan ahead.
Yes,
so,
Rich.
That was dinner and actually a night at the Ritz-Carlton in Boston on Saturday night. So,
really?
That's, you know, buying your way out of the doghouse in advance is what Rich. I've learned the best way to play.
Tell me about it.
First time my wife mentioned that, I thought she wanted crackers. I didn't know what Ritz-Carlton. I'm like, Ritz what? I'll get you.
The way I figure it, I'm down here for 3 weeks this first time. That'll probably buy me till Thursday night before he really snaps at me. So.
Well, you are the luckiest man on this planet,
you
my friend.
You are. Tom, always a pleasure, my friend. Have a good time. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys. Got to buy some sunscreen. Let's talk longer, but I got to go.
Okay. See ya.
There you go. Tom Karen from Nesson joins us every week. Always love talking to that guy. That guy's got the life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he sure does. What a great life. But how funny is that? He's doing a hockey game at TD Garden last night. Yep. Next thing you know, he's among palm trees.
All right.
You know, I don't know where the breaking news sounder
was,
but we got some breaking news.
This is a blockbuster.
Major news.
So Claude Julien just fired last week by the Bruins.
Yep.
Now named the head coach of the first place Montreal Canadiens, who just fired their coach, Michel Therrien.
I mean,
seriously?
You saw my reaction. You told me this a couple minutes ago. I almost fell out of my chair.
Rich, right off the bat, I was a little surprised. I mean, obviously, Montreal in first place. This is obviously for the long-term effect. And remember, they were not probably too pleased of what happened. Was it last year when it was Price that went down? And they completely went down into the toilet.
Yeah.
Though I thought that was all forgotten. And I guess maybe not. Maybe something. Do you think that had a lingering effect of what happened today?
I don't know, because what's happened this year is sort of the same thing as last year. And I think Montreal is panicking a little bit because it's Price is healthy, but he hasn't been very good lately. And it's not just Price. They have had huge injury issues up in Montreal. Gallagher, Galchenyuk, Markov, all crucial guys. Gallagher came back in the Bruins game the other night. And Galchenyuk, I believe, is back too. But they've had huge injury issues, and that's why I thought they'd give Therrien a free pass. This is unbelievable.
How long was he there with the Canadiens?
Oh, what's he been? Maybe 6 years?
Wow.
I'll have to check. 5 seasons, I guess it was. But, well, no, he was 8 seasons behind the bench, including the last 5 when he worked with the general manager, Marc Bergevin. He made the announcement today. I think the story that Julian is going to be behind the Canadiens bench isn't as shocking as Therrien getting fired. They have been playing pretty poorly over the last 3 or 4 weeks, so you could sort of see maybe a little bit of an issue here.
What about the game?
I never thought they'd fire
him. The 4-0 game? Was that the cherry on top of the sundae or what?
Yeah, that was it. That was it. And they lost at home the other night to, what was it, Edmonton? They got shut out by Edmonton, a team that's had defensive problems like almost none other in the NHL. They've had a terrible time scoring. Pacioretty's come around a little bit, but there's just a whole bunch of guys that aren't playing up to their standards.
You know better than I do, because wasn't there a controversy? He spoke French, right? Because there was a controversy with the last coach.
Right.
It wasn't...
English was his primary language. That just doesn't work up there.
That's the coach they just fired now, then.
No, Therrien is French.
Okay,
I mean, he listened to his press conferences, and
so
it's
that's
90%
French. That's why I thought he was popular, because he replaced the guy that a lot of people had a problem with and said he should never have been the head coach of the Canadiens to begin with.
Right, but that's a moot point at this point, because that was 7-8 years ago. But, yeah, that was one of the things that they had a problem with, plus they weren't winning on the ice.
Right.
But this is unbelievable. Therrien, he was named the coach in 2012.
I think it's the second...
Yeah, he had also been the coach from 2000, I think it was, till 2003.
Right,
So a guy who's had a lot of time behind that Canadiens bench, and they haven't played well, but wow.
Still in first place.
To can a first-place coach. So look at it now, in that division, in the Eastern Division of the NHL, the first place and, at that time, the second-place coach, Julian, have both been fired within a week of each other.
What's amazing is, as you said that, but also it was the Bruins that might have been the reason why, and the former Bruin coach that took on over. So when you were beating this coach, everything was okay. Now that they got a new coach and you're losing, you take the old coach that you were beating and make him the head coach. I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I've never heard of a situation where a first place and a second place coach in their division get fired in the same week.
How do you think he'll do up there, by the way?
I think they're going to have to get used to that defensive system that he loves, and that was a problem in Boston. Everybody wanted offense, and he's a defensive coach. Carey Price, I would imagine, is going to be pretty happy. He doesn't encourage the wide open play.
When Montreal comes out of the Boston, what kind of greeting will he get?
I think Julian will get a very large ovation. I don't know.
Head coach of the Canadiens?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that.
Can you imagine that?
He'll get an ovation.
I mean, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, but when a guy gets fired, it's different than when he quits and goes.
I know,
to
but
the
when
dark
he comes
side.
Back as you know as the head coach of the Canadiens.
Little bit like Damon and guys like that who went over to the dark side, the evil empire. But in this case, he got fired and then joined the evil empire a week later.
I mean, this is so layered. Claude Julien wasn't good enough anymore to coach a team below the team that just hired him. So the question is, which side messed up here? Did the Bruins fire a really good coach unnecessarily, and the Canadiens are looking at it and saying, how could you let this guy go? He's a star. Or if the Canadiens hired a failure, of late, because he hasn't made the playoffs in two years prior to this year, and this year the Bruins were on the outside looking in, potentially. I mean, one of them had to have made a mistake, right?
Right, and the other thing, too, is you wonder if there was something going on with the front office and Therrien. I mean, he was not the most pleasant guy at press conferences. He's a pretty grumpy guy, sort of like having Eeyore at the microphone every day. Never could tell if they'd won or lost, but I don't know. I just... This is going to be huge up in Montreal for a couple of days.
What a busy first hour. Tell you what we're going to do when we get back. Brady had a chance to catch up with Red Sox president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski.
Jeez.
We'll talk to him. We'll get more into what's going on with the Bruins and the Canadiens. Also, big news coming out of Toronto. The Raptors make a big move, which means the Celtics might be making a big move of their own. We'll touch on that. We got a lot of things to get to in hour two. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
To Burlington and Plattsburgh's home for sports.
101.3 ESPN. Go away.
A blockbuster move made in the NHL. Former Bruins head coach Claude Julien has a new job, and this time he's going north of the border. The Bruins' rivals, Julien takes over the Montreal Canadiens, who, despite being in first place in what, Rich? The Atlantic Division, you tell me?
They are in first place in the Atlantic, but they're fifth overall in the conference.
I already knew that. You like to talk about hockey, so I'm giving you a chance to say it yourself. So they're in first place in the Atlantic Division, and they fire their head coach, Michel Therrien, and they give the job to Claude Julien. Somebody made a mistake. Either the Bruins fired a good coach prematurely, or the Canadiens hired a coach that's a failure. We'll find out here over the course of the rest of the regular season. Pitchers and catchers have reported in Major League Baseball. The Red Sox are on the field in Fort Myers, Florida for their first workouts, and we're about to talk to the president of baseball operations in Boston, Dave Dombrowski. The Patriot fans who think the NFL is out to get them, well, your case got a little stronger today, despite reports that both the Seahawks and the Steelers purposely omitted injuries off their injury report. Neither team will face disciplinary action from the NFL. No draft picks forfeited, no fines, no nothing for either franchise. Serge Ibaka traded from the Magic to the Toronto Raptors, and that could be big news for the Celtics, who are trying to chase the top spot in the Eastern Conference and trying to hold off the Raptors. Speaking of the top spot in the Eastern Conference, it's currently owned by the Cavaliers, and Kevin Love out for 6 weeks as well. Dave Dombrowski next. You're listening to The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Sports on your ride home. The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. So what? We had a foot of snow the other day. Football season's over. Baseball season's here. The Red Sox are in camp, and they have a lot of expectations. And who knows more about that than the guy at the helm of the Red Sox? It is Dave Dombrowski, the president of baseball operations, joining us here on 101.3 ESPN. Dave, how are you? Thanks for the time today.
I'm doing great, Brady. Thanks for having me.
A lot of pressure on this team, a lot of expectation. You win the AL East last year, get even better on paper. What's it like now? What's the vibe around the clubhouse?
I think at this point everybody's excited to get started. We're in a situation where just pitchers and catchers had their first official workout today. The full squad will be on Friday. But in this scenario, people are just excited to get going. They're in good shape, looking ahead towards the games to start getting played as far as exhibition games are concerned, but a real good overall vibe here.
Let's talk about the offseason. How does a deal like the Chris Sale deal come about at the winter meetings? Was it difficult for you to trade Yoan Moncada, who's at that point the number one prospect in baseball?
Well, it is a difficult trade. When any time you're trading quality prospect like Moncada, and we also traded Michael Kopech, who's one of the top pitching prospects in baseball. But I think you also have to realize that if you're going to get a player like Chris Sale, you're going to end up giving up quite a bit. And in our situation, Chris, we have signed for 3 years. We have him signed this year and options for the next 2 years. It's not only his ability, his contract is very friendly for the club. So for us, we felt to put us in a position to try to win over that time period that we knew we were going to give up young talent. And unfortunately, yes, it's tough to trade them, but it's also one that you understand is part of the process.
Moncada was the number one prospect in baseball. New rankings have come out, and now it's Andrew Benintendi, who you didn't have to give up in that deal. What makes Andrew Benintendi so good? Because we've heard so much about him.
Well, first and foremost, Benintendi is just like a baseball player, right? As you would describe a guy. Here's a guy that's got a beautiful swing at the plate. got a nice short swing. He uses the whole field, and he also can drive the ball with that swing. And then you look at him, he's an all-around player. He plays good defense in the outfield. He'll play left field for us. He's basically another center fielder in our outfield rotation. He has that type of defensive capabilities. He throws the ball well. He runs the bases. He's got good knowledge of the game. He's got good instincts, good work ethic. So really, he's got the overall capabilities that you look for in an individual to step forward and play well for you. So it's understandable that he's a good prospect. He's well-regarded, and we're happy with the Red Sox organization.
Dave Dombrowski, president of baseball operations for the Red Sox here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Dave, one of the under-the-radar storylines for the offseason was kind of the turmoil in your front office, rather the turnover in your front office. You lose Mike Hazen, goes to Arizona to become the GM. He takes Torrey Lovello as the new skipper there. Is that tough when you lose some of that front office continuity?
Well, I think it's a situation to make it – it's tough in the sense that you need to make some adjustments, so there's more work that is involved. Anytime you lose good people like Mike and Torrey, you never want to lose them, but you also understand that's part of the process of a good organization. You're going to lose good people, and so Mike was ready for that job, and Torrey was ready for his job. So for us, it's an opportunity. We went on and we hired Gary DeSarcina back. He is going to be our bench coach. Gary is with the organization for many years, a longtime big league player, well-regarded, and he's stepping into Torrey's position. Again, we'll miss him, but you could see Gary's he's ready for that challenge to be the bench coach, and he knows John Farrell well. And as far as Mike Hazen was concerned, he did a great job for this organization for a long time. He helped me last year, and we worked very closely together, but he moved on to be the main decision-maker in Arizona. But it also gives an opportunity for a lot of other young people that are quality in our organization to move forward. So Eddie Romero, who's been now is been anointed as our senior vice president and assistant general manager, he's moved up the ladder. A number of other youngsters, young people in the organization have moved up to get promotions. So it's a very deep organization with quality individuals. And without the moves of Mike and Torrey, some of these moves don't take place. But we're also in a spot that gives great opportunity for very qualified individuals.
A lot of people talking about one of the keys to this team is a bounce-back year for David Price. I don't look at it that way. I mean, when you go 17 and 8 or 9 or whatever it was with a mid-3 RA, that's a pretty good year on the whole. How about just how important is it for David Price to get off to a better start early this year? Because April was a struggle for him a year ago.
Well, I think he'd love to do that. Any player loves to do that. And I think in David's case, he'll be more settled now. He'll have a feel of getting ready here and getting ready for the season, being in Fenway, and all the extra attention that he receives. But as you mentioned, to me, he won 17 games. You lead the league in innings pitched. You're among the league leaders in strikeouts. Pitched more games of 8 innings pitched, I think, other than Chris Sale in our league. So I think all in all, he maybe didn't have a typical David Price season. But coming back this year, I think he'll even come out and adjust more and do a little bit better for us and come out and maybe have that typical David Price season. But I think he'll do a fine job for us, and we're anxious that he gets to come back and pitch in a rotation with Porcello and Sale. And I think it'll be a situation that'll put us in a great spot.
A guy that does unquestionably need a bounce-back year is Pablo Sandoval. The early returns on how he looks and how he's feeling are very, very good. How important can Pablo Sandoval be to the 2017 Red Sox?
Well, he can be very important for us in Pablo's case, to give him a lot of credit, because after he had this shoulder surgery last year, he went down to Florida and he worked hard not only rehabilitating his shoulder, but being in a position he's worked from the nutritional aspect of it, the mental aspect of it, the dietary aspect of it, and then continued to rehab and then practice his baseball skills when he was ready. So he's in good shape. He's ready to go. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out here and has a real solid season for us. We don't need him to be a star for us. We just need him to be a contributing member to our ball club, and we think he's capable of doing that.
Dave Dombrowski, president of baseball operations for the Red Sox here in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. All in all, there was talks of a lot of Red Sox playing in the World Baseball Classic. It's really two when you talk about Xander Bogaerts and Hanley Ramirez, possibility of four when you throw in Fernando Abad and Eduardo Rodriguez maybe getting a chance to pitch. What's your overall thought on the World Baseball Classic? Do you encourage guys to do it? Do you try to dissuade guys from doing it? Do you stay out of it and leave it up to the players?
Well, we leave it up to the players. I think the WBC is a very good thing for Major League Baseball. It continues to grow the game around the world. That's important for everybody in the game. From club perspective, you can handle the situations because we've been in the spots where we've had players leave us and a number of players leave us and end up being in playing in a world championship or being in a spot where you win a division. So you can overcome that. I think it's good for the players if they want to do it. But I think they have to decide on an individual basis, because especially from a pitching perspective, some guys just don't feel they're ready to turn it up quite that hard in the middle of March. But we leave it up to the players, and if they want to play, we encourage them to do so.
Brian Cashman, GM of the Yankees, said that he thinks the AL East is the best division in baseball, and certainly very competitive when you look at Baltimore and Toronto and even Tampa as they build, always seems to be on the fringe of at least being able to play spoiler, if not be right in the middle of the thick of things. And the Yankees are building slowly with these prospects that they have. What do you think of the division as a whole?
Well, it's a tremendous division, and I don't disagree with Brian. I think it's as good as any division in baseball. Anytime you play against one of those clubs, you know you're in for a real battle at any particular time. All of them are strong at the big league club level. I mean, some of them have different strengths. For example, when you face Tampa, they've got tremendous starting pitching. They've added to their lineup, but every one of those clubs are solid. You can see any of them qualifying for the postseason. I think that's a difference, too. You don't see anybody in our division that's just looking towards the future. They're all trying to win and get into the postseason right now. So it's really tough, and if you end up winning, you're going to earn it.
Dave, it was a sad week for baseball. A guy you used to work with in Detroit, the owner of the Tigers and Red Wings, Mickey Ilitch, passed away. Your thoughts when you heard the news?
Well, in Mr. I's case, very saddened. He's been sick for a number of years, and but yet he's been in a situation. He continues to go to ball games and be involved. So very sad news. He was good to me. He's been good for sports, tremendous for the city of Detroit and for the state of Michigan. And he's really an icon in that city, and deservedly so. So he'll be missed by everyone.
Dave, we'll get you out of here on this, because undoubtedly people are going to ask us, hey, how'd you get Dave Dombrowski on? That's pretty cool. And I will just say, we have a mutual friend in Norwich University rugby coach, Bob Wegler. If you don't follow Norwich rugby, you need to. So, Dave, let's give a little plug here for your friend Bob, who hooked us up here today.
Yeah, Bob Wegler, a longtime friend. We went to college together. So we went to college at Cornell University together my freshman year, and Bob was a tremendous football player there, and we stayed in touch throughout the years. He's got the Norwich rugby team, one of the best in the country, so definitely follow him, and he's a good friend.
Well, he's a good friend, and you talk about him being a beast on the football field in college. I played against him on the lunchtime hoop circuit at Norwich, and he's awfully physical there as well. Dave Dombrowski, president of baseball operations for the Boston Red Sox, pitchers and catchers report today. Dave, an exciting season ahead. We're excited to be a part of it as a carrier of Red Sox games, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Thank you, Brady. Thanks for having me.
There you go, Red Sox fans. Dave Dombrowski, everybody.
He knew the guy's name he was talking to. That's impressive.
I just told you, because I'm friends with Bob Wegler, the rugby coach at Norwich, who's his best friend.
Wow. Is Dave Small Dombrowski world. Married to the old former ESPN anchor?
I don't know if you want to call him her old.
No. She used to be. Is that who he's married to?
I have no idea.
I think she used to be a ESPN. I don't know if she was an anchor or reporter for ESPN. So I don't know if she did like a sports center, or she was like covered Major League Baseball or something like that.
Unlike John Henry, who was married to someone 40 years younger.
No. I think they're the same age. I think she just was a reporter for ESPN, and that's how they met. She might have been covered. I think it's Dave Dombrowski. I could be wrong. So Brady will check that and see if I know exactly what the hell I'm talking about there, for crying out loud.
Brady will check that.
Yeah, well, I thought he was typing away, so I'm like, he'll get that answer. But find out if Dave Dombrowski is married to the old ESPN person.
Carrie Dombrowski.
Yes, Carrie. That's it. Carrie, I forget her last name. Blonde hair, very good looking.
Last name is Dombrowski. Well,
no, before it was, but she's the, that's her then. Yes, I remember the first name. So she used to be an ESPN, worked for ESPN long, long time ago. So I think she was like a reporter and did their baseball round.
Yeah, in fact, you dated for a while,
didn't
you?
Stop that. Come on now, for crying out loud.
Dated everyone else.
Could have dated Jeannie Buss, though, when we were in high school, that's for sure. All right, now getting back to the big news today.
Man.
The Bruins, first of all, they beat the Canadiens 4-0, but the Canadiens make a move. They started out the year 13-1-1. I think they went 500 after that.
Again.
And after All-Star break, I think 2-5-1 or something.
Yeah, well, they're 3-6-1 in their last 10, and they've really struggled lately.
So they decided to go ahead and make a little coaching change there, Rich.
This one just knocked me for a loop. I can't believe this. They not so much that they hired Claude Julien, but that they fired Michel Therrien. And, you know, we've talked in SportsCenter with Brady that, they're first in the division right now. They've had a very comfortable lead. They also have lots of games in hand. This is a problem the Bruins have run into as well. And now they're going to pay for it because they have the next week off. They're taking their bye week the same time the Bruins are. So this is a perfect time to drop a bomb like this, but still.
We are going to try to do the impossible here on In the Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. We are going to try to get a Bruin fan to actually call into the show, or a Canadian fan.
I'd be more interested in the Habs fans' reaction.
Do we have Canadian fans running around here?
Are you kidding? They're
driving
everywhere.
Down from Montreal to come shopping here or something like that?
No, they all live in St. Albans. I swear, every time I go up there, I see nothing but Habs shirts.
Stop that.
Well, it's because of the John LeClaire connection.
John LeClaire? Would it be embarrassing if I told you that when we walk our dog, we put a Canadian sweater on him? No, I'm being serious.
You don't even know who the Canadians are.
No, I'm being dead serious.
But you have a dog sweater?
A dog sweater, and it's the Canadians. It has the Canadian logo, and that's what we put on. We have one for that and one Toronto, but he doesn't like the Toronto. He was embarrassed by that one.
Hey, they're pretty good this year.
Yeah, but he doesn't like to put it on. He's like, he always puts his head down.
Well, Toronto doesn't have to be embarrassed anymore. They actually have a decent young team.
But when we put the Canadians one on him, he's like walking all proud. And he's all happy. Well, so we don't. Yeah, I know it is.
It is the world's greatest city, but it's just their hockey team I can't stand.
Yeah. So I mean, all right, we'll really try to do the. You know, I was gonna say we'll really try to do the impossible, and get a Canadian fan to call in. But that's.
Well, this is a blockbuster. This is big on so many fronts.
I'll tell you what. If we get a Canadian fan to call in, not only will we take your call, Rich will buy you poutine. 802-655.
Poutine.
Poutine.
Close enough.
There is a very large difference between those two words.
655.
Oh, my God.
6672. 655. 6672.
Last time I bought poutine, in fact, it wasn't Montreal. And...
Stop that. It's a family show. Stop that. Don't make fun of my accent. Look at him. Come on now. Poutine. So he will go ahead and buy you that if you call him. But we're not going to get any Canadian fans to call in about this. But it is big news, obviously, up there in Montreal. No doubt about
that. No, I'd love to hear from you, though. 655-6672. I mean, I can't. Are Habs fans happy that they just fired their coach in the middle of a first place season? Problem is here is they're doing the same thing they did last year. They get off to a huge start. Last year, Price got hurt. This year, everybody else got hurt. But a lot of guys are underperforming. This reminds me, the Canadians right now remind me so much of the Bruins. They got so many guys who are playing like fourth liners. I know Galchenyuk's been hurt. He's been okay when he's been healthy. Markov has been hurt. Tomas Plekanec has done nothing this year. He has 7 goals in 58 games. Gallagher, I know he's been hurt and he just came back. Despite that, when he's healthy, 6 goals in 40 games. Desharnais, 4 goals. I know he's been hurt all year, too. He's got 4 goals in 29 games. There's a lot of guys on this team that they were counting on to be top 6 forwards that are doing nothing.
Well, try to get your calls when we get back at 802-655-6672. Also, should the Celtics be making a move? Because Toronto made a move. And now here's the chance to catch the Cleveland Cavaliers. Plus, I got another small basketball item I want to get to. So we got a busy segment. You want to jump in? You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Coming up tomorrow, Mike and Mike in the Morning from 6 to 10 a.m., Greeny and Golic talk about the NBA.
In the Champlain Valley, lows will be near 24. With your forecast on 101.3 ESPN, I'm Chief Meteorologist Sean Parker with Local 22 and Local 44 News.
It's 29 at 101.3 ESPN.
When you need it bad, we've got it good. Rich and Arnie in the huddle. 101.3 ESPN.
Good evening, everyone. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. All right, we'll still wait for that Canadian fan to call.
Yeah, come on, people. I know half of you.
All two of them?
I got 50 friends who are Canadiens fans, and they never stop giving me crap about how much better Montreal is than the Bruins.
I think my dog is the biggest Canadian fan here. Yeah, that's
because they keep him warm.
Yeah, there you go. A couple other things we want to get to. Cleveland loses Kevin Love. Yeah. Right, he's going to be gone for a while. And the Celtics are, 2 and a half games behind Cleveland for the top spot.
They're 4 up on Toronto now. In the
Eastern Conference. Toronto went out and got Ibaka.
Yeah.
Who I'm a little surprised about that trade because he was in his first year with
Orlando
because he got traded, from Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and they didn't give up much, man. They gave up Terrence Ross, who's a 10-4 guy, and they did give up a 2017 first-round pick. But Toronto, that's not going to be much of a pick. That's going to be in the 20s.
So Toronto's making a move to come after Boston. Should Boston make a move to go after Cleveland? And now the reports are that Cleveland may make a move because Kevin Love's out, and now's the chance for them maybe to get Carmelo Anthony on that.
The sad part about this is everybody's going to start making moves so that they can be the best team in the East, so they can be destroyed in the finals by the Golden State Warriors. But at the same time, it's an exciting time to be a Celtics fan. But yeah, the Ibaka move to me is a big deal. That's a great complimentary piece to Lowry on the outside, DeRozan doing what he does. And a lot of people were very unhappy with Ibaka's performance in Orlando. But a lot of people also said the coach for the Magic, Frank Vogel, wasn't using him correctly. And when I heard he went to Toronto as a Celtics fan, I said, that just turns up the heat on the Celtics finding a big man. I don't care if they give up Brooklyn's pick and a couple of guys. Go out and get an impact big guy.
Here's a chance for the Celtics to really make a move. Now, I thought Celtic fans would be all over this, unless you feel like, A, Kevin Love's coming back and we're still not going to beat Cleveland. B, we don't care if Kevin Love's coming back. We're not going to beat Cleveland, especially if they get Carmelo Anthony. Or C, even if they don't bring back Kevin Love, we're still not going to beat them. No, I don't buy that because what's-his-face got hurt when they brought in Korver. The three-point
J.R. Smith.
Yeah. So, you know, he's hurt also. I think Cleveland's in disarray. Now's the time to attack. That's when you go after the enemy, when they're vulnerable. And Cleveland is vulnerable here. The Celtics aren't doing anything unless people say, well, even if they do win the Eastern Conference, they're not going to beat Golden State. But one problem at a time, Rich.
I've been hammering on this for 3 weeks. They've got to get it. You got to move Horford and use him where he belongs at the power forward slot and find yourself a big guy. I don't care what you give up. Get a Whiteside. Get a Rudy Gobert. I've mentioned these names 10 times. And I really think, I know Danny Ainge is very, very patient when it comes to wheeling and dealing. He's made a lot of trades over the last couple of years, but it seems like he's had a lot of opportunities. Now, you're right. They should be smelling blood with the Cavs right now. And I suspect something's going
to
happen.
When's the last time you've been this close to, I'm not going to say winning an NBA championship, but the road is a little bit clearer. Yeah. And this is the way to go ahead and put a little gas in the car, make sure you got a full tank for coming down the stretch. Celtic fans, this is your golden opportunity. If this was my New York Knicks in this situation, I'd be screaming, get one more person and let's try to make a run at it this year.
And it's been interesting because a lot of the rumor mill is flying down in around Danny Ainge's head down with the Boston media. That nobody could quite understand why, who am I thinking of? Jay Crowder just mysteriously missed two games for, quote, personal reasons.
Right, right.
Jalen Rose just sits out last night's game. No one's sure about why that was, too. And they're just, the rumor mill is starting to fly
about,
a little bit.
How about
down
you?
There.
Okay, you don't want Carmelo Anthony. Is this completely crazy? How about I say you take somebody like Derrick Rose? His contract's going to be gone at the end of the year anyway. You're just renting him for the rest of the year. Why not take somebody like that? Or is he too much of a cancer also?
I mean,
you want like a bit person.
Is he going to make them better than Cleveland?
I don't know. You tell me. Who do you want? You got to make a move. This is your chance. It's like this. You want to go to prom with the hot girl? Guess what? The hot girl just broke up with her boyfriend 1 hour ago. You better ask now, because in 2 hours they'll be back together.
I want a true center who signed for a couple of years. That's
don't
what
even, I want. Don't worry about a couple of years. Just worry about this year.
Even Greg Monroe, Drummond, Gobert. I'll say Whiteside again. I know he's going to come at a huge cost. But somebody in the middle there that's going to just be able to get it to.
You need like a guy like the guy from Oklahoma City. Their big man.
Sabonis?
No,
it was
Steven
Ibaka.
Adams.
Yeah, Steven Adams.
I mean, look at Steven Adams.
I love him, yes.
Just the guy who's going to allow Horford to go to the position he wants to
be
in.
Yes,
yes. Everybody's complaining that Horford isn't worth the money. He's playing out of position all year.
I would like somebody like him. I
agree.
Yes. I think,
number one, the Thunder are going to the playoffs, so they're not going to just
Adams. He said he wanted a big guy. So I said, you mean somebody like Adams? He's like, yes, absolutely.
And I'm also here to tell you, and I usually am not the guy to take it off topic, Steven Adams is the ugliest human.
I love him. I love that.
He would fit right in Boston.
I love that guy.
It goes Steven Adams number one and Clay Buchholz with that hair number two.
But somebody like that, you know what I'm saying? That attitude that I will set the dirty pick. I will get the rebound. I will score the 8 to 10 points and the 10 rebounds and something like that. That's really what you need is like one of those bit players. But they got to do something, Rich. Even if it means giving up a draft pick for the future, you got to go ahead and do something.
And they've got all these stashed guys that they drafted last year overseas, and they're playing well. And I mean, it just It just seems like they have way more than they need. And they've got all these draft, they've got all these assets. They've got the Brooklyn pick, and you can't count it. All them have all Brooklyn by being 9-43 or whatever they are right now. All that means is now they have a 75% chance of not winning the ping pong ball lottery.
You're talking now. Yeah.
That trade is that Brooklyn pick right now, it will never be more attractive since they haven't had the lottery yet. As far as I'm concerned, I would give that to somebody for a center.
Just can the Celtics, even if they get the number one seed, even if they overtake the Cavs, can they beat a healthy Cavs team even with home court advantage?
Cavs are, but you know what? The Cavs aren't really going to be healthy. Love's going to be out, 4 to 6 weeks, and J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith might be back first week of March.
Healthy for the playoffs.
After going through surgery on his thumb, and this guy's a three-point shooter, it's going to take him another couple more months after that just to get his shooting touch back. I don't think Cleveland's going to be healthy 100% the rest of the year.
You say that you could not play for a month and come back and just go 6-for-6 from three-point range. If you could do it, J.R. Smith can do it.
Yeah, but I'm not having surgery on my thumb, that's for sure. And one other note, and by the way, we do want to hear from Celtic fans. So 655-6672, 655-6672. And usually I don't ask for this type of call, Rich, because I know all of the things when it comes to officiating with football and basketball. But before the show today, I showed you and Brady a video of a high school game where a young man was taking the ball out of bounds. Mm-hmm. And you're going to tell me there was 4 seconds that was gone by for him to inbound the ball. So
and
they,
he
were,
gets
going to
five.
Go, they were going to get a 5 second count. I don't know the score. I don't even know what quarter it was. For all I know, they were up by 100 points. The young man took the ball as hard as he could with both hands and fired it.
Threw it off the guy's face.
He fired it into the guy who was guarding the inbound right in his face. That kid crumbled to the ground. They didn't have to take
Untrue.
Him. No, he did. He did crumble to the ground.
I'll look again.
No, he did. It says it in the article, though. It says he did crumble to the ground, and there was no foul called on the play, and the only technical foul was from the coach who was complaining for the kid that got hit that there was no foul on the play called. And Brady and I and Rich were all arguing about this. Brady, you said it wasn't a foul. Rich, you think it's a foul. I think it's a technical foul.
I don't think it's a foul at all.
What do you think it is?
He didn't do anything wrong. He had 1 second to figure out something because he couldn't inbound the ball, so he threw it off of that guy's body.
I think he should have gotten a technical foul for firing the ball in the kid's face.
Disagree.
And they should have thrown him out of the game.
I think he needs a good talking to.
He needs to be thrown out of the game.
That's just ethically, that's a terrible thing to do. It's also legal. And it got him out of a jam.
He threw the ball at the guys and it hit him in
purpose.
The face. Fine. It's not a foul. A foul is when a player commits a bodily act against another player. It's not a foul.
If I'm just dribbling the ball up court and I decide I'm going to pick it up and fire it into your face or fire it into your private...
That's a technical.
Why is that a technical? But it's not a technical.
No,
he's doing it out of bounds.
There's no strategy behind that. The kid had 1 second to figure out what to do.
He could have fired it off his legs. First of all, he didn't do it to save the 5 second clock. Let's be honest, Rich. He did it because there was something, there was a vendetta. There was something going on. We don't know the whole story, but there's something going. That kid did not do it to save a 5 second clock.
The kid had, he knew he had 1 second left. He panicked and just threw the ball forward.
The way he threw that ball,
I am telling you, his face.
Is there a referee that's listening at 655-6672? What would you have called? Was it a technical foul? Was it no foul? Or would you give the kid a warning? Or would you say, hey, legal play, that's the way it goes? Yeah. Kind of like if I'm saving the ball out of bounds and I fire it off Rich or Brady's legs. Though I could fire it off your private parts too, that's not going to be good, Rich.
I saw a play in the UVM-UMBC game the other night. Kid was running out of time in the last couple of minutes of that game. Fires it off. I think it was a UVM player. Throws it right off his body and out of bounds. Great play.
Different than that.
You're talking about what body part is what makes the difference.
No, I just think it's not a foul. No matter what, it's not a foul. If you think there was malicious intent involved, then there's a technical. Then you throw the kid out. You give him a flagrant foul. But it's not a regular foul.
He's lucky that somebody on that team didn't come running across and punch that guy in the face.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I would have dropped him like a ton of bricks.
It's a good thing they didn't. He would have been thrown out of the game and a few more games, too.
I would have dropped that guy for doing something like that to my teammate. He wouldn't even have known what hit him.
Well, credit for them not doing it. But for you to say there's no difference between a kid dribbling the ball up the court and whipping a ball into a kid's face for no reason and inbounding with 1 second left in a panic and throwing it off the guy's body.
First of all, we know it's not sportsmanship, but I'm not even going to take it. I'll take it past sportsmanship. That's got to be a technical foul. And it's no if you're telling me that's – and by the way, Rich, he wasn't doing it to save a five-second count. He was doing it because he's a malicious
little –
He's a malicious little punk is
you
what he is.
You saw the replay, so did
yeah,
I
did.
How do we
– Well, that's the way I read it, Rich. Right. I see him as a malicious little punk who took the ball with both hands and he could have fired it off – that's what you usually do is fire it off somebody's legs when you're doing something
yes.
like that.
Yeah, you throw low.
Right in his face. Could have broken his nose. Could have caused some serious damage. Lucky he didn't get taken out by somebody on the other. Look at the other coach and come running out and punching him in his face.
You got to look at the circumstances. I look at it. Look, is that an ethical thing to do? No. If I'm the coach of that kid, I say if I ever see that again, you're missing at least one
Should've
game.
Should have missed the rest of the game. Should have went ahead and said you're not
but
playing the rest of the game.
But it's not a technical foul. How do you miss the game if it's not a technical foul?
All right. Let's get to some calls. If you want to jump in, 655-6672, 655-6672. Who's on the line, Brady? I can't see. You tell me.
We got Greg from Middlebury, but he wants to talk about the Celtics.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Greg, you want to talk about the Celtics? Jump on in. You're in the huddle with Richard Arnie at 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Greg?
Yeah, first time caller. Great show, guys.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
I was thinking about the trade for Nerlens Noel for the Celtics from the Sixers. I just think for the Celtics, Noel would be a great trade because he provides a lot of defensive rebounding and the Celtics don't need a whole bunch of offense, right? They need some guys to get rebounds.
Yeah, but they're not going to just give him up for nothing. You got to pay a steep price for somebody like that.
What did he say?
Well, Nerlens Noel.
Okay.
There's always four young guys.
I can't hear.
Unfortunately, your phone is lousy.
But you know, it'd be a good pickup, but you're going to have to pay a steep price for somebody like that.
You are, and isn't he an injury risk?
Yes.
You think he'd be a steep price, considering he spent most of the year on the bench?
Well, they're going to have to recoup something. They're not. Once his rookie contract's up, he's not going to cost a heck of a lot.
No,
that is very appeasing to some of the teams out there that don't have to pay a king's ransom.
I might
give
him a Jay Crowder, but I'm not giving him the Brooklyn pick for that.
All right, we'll take more of your call. Hey, we'll keep it wide open. If you want to talk about the Celtics, if you want to talk about if that was an illegal play by that high school kid, you want to talk about what Tom Brady did. If you don't know what Tom Brady did, we'll tell you about that when we get back. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on
Yours Phone System.
Call 802-655-6672 and join our conversation. If Arnie lets you get a word in, The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. Great story for Last Story Standing. That's coming up in about 10 minutes from now. Just kind of a hodgepodge of stuff I want to get to. First of all, I kind of want to rub it in your face. UVM men's now up to number 7
in
the mid-major poll.
Okay, are they in the top 25? It's all I want to know, so I don't have to hear about
close.
It from you. Close? All right,
close.
How close? Brady, let's go to the truth.
They are not in the top 25.
They're not. I say they're about like number 30 to 35, right around
also
there.
Also not true.
Well, if you took 7 and added to 25, that's 32, but he doesn't do it that way.
Let's call this the embellishment show.
No, they're number 7 in the mid-majors.
That's great.
All right,
awesome.
There's no disputing that.
No.
That's a done deal.
No, that's fine.
They will be in the top. Look, it took Feinstein all 3-4 months to know what I knew 4 months ago. And that they were a top 25 team.
Okay.
You two clowns had no idea what you were dealing with.
That's funny because at no point at this season for 1 second have they been a top 25 team. So what you just said is incorrect.
But it will happen.
Okay.
But it will happen. Would be the first time they've made it to the top 25?
I don't know if maybe that year with Kopp and Rath and Sorrentine maybe snuck in. I'm sure some honorable mentions.
Yeah. I doubt it, though. That'd
I'll
be interesting.
Check.
All right.
So, yeah. So, once again, what you just said is completely wrong, but keep going.
Close, though. But anyway.
You're close.
Three more games so they can go 16-0.
I think they will.
And by the way, Brady, you'll know this. The America East, does it do home court every game or is it just the
home court
finals?
Every game.
Okay. So, then there's a lot of travel then for the teams that the teams that are on the bottom then.
Basically, if Vermont wins the conference, and right now they're two games up with three games to play, as long as they're in the tournament,
right,
they'll
so they
be
don't
home.
Have to travel. So yeah, but so but they're not like back to back to back games, right?
No, it's like.
Yeah, you
it
have
used
to
be
travel.
That way.
Yes, right.
They used to always play at the Carpenter Center in Delaware.
It's like the teams that are playing the play-in games essentially will play on Tuesday, then they'll travel and play on Saturday,
yep.
And then the championship is like a following Saturday.
Saturday morning, always.
That's bad news for Vermont, because if you're playing in Albany or a Stony Brook, a team that is good enough to beat them, you're giving those coaches a week to prepare, and you kind of lose your advantage of, yes, you have home court, but if you give Will Brown 1 week to prepare, I'm confident that Albany could come in here and beat them, and they're not as good as you've
been. What do you feel like Will Brown doesn't know everything there is to know about the Catamounts at this point in all
Brown,
those years?
Will Brown told me, I think, he told us flat out before they played UAlbany the first time, he said, on 2 days preparation, UVM is far better than us. On 1 week, I think we got a shot.
I don't like the fact that the game's going to be like a noon game or something like that.
It's usually 11:30.
Yeah, they'll put it up early because it's like championship week or something of that effect.
Believe me, when it comes to championship week, ESPN makes the rules.
Real quick, UConn women, let's give them their props. Yeah. 100 straight win. They beat South Carolina, who, by the way, is a very good team.
Yeah, nail biter, actually. Yeah,
well, it was 66-54. Five.
Right.
Do you think Gino Auriemma, and we were talking about some of the best coaches, because we were talking about, at least nationally I was, we were talking about the best coaches in the history of sports. I'm wondering if we could put Belichick up there, if you have John Wooden up there. Somebody said Scottie Bowman would have to be there if you were going to put up the top four. And then, you know, who else is going to be? Phil Jackson, possibly. Would be the top four coaches. Is somebody like a Gino Auriemma deserve to be considerate for something like that, considering all the championships this guy has won?
I'd put him in the top 50 of all-time greatest coaches. Top four, absolutely not. Well, he's a great recruiter, that's for sure.
Top 50 is not even – that's embarrassing. That's a slap in the face to him.
I don't know. I don't think so. I'd put two or three women's coaches in the top 50.
I want to ask Brady what we asked yesterday, because you gave me – I was surprised at this. I know what Brady's going to say. I'll be shocked, because Brady played sports, so I know what he's going to say. But if I told you, Brady, you could be part of a historic team, like UConn's women's team. They win 100 in a row. That's, what, four years of never losing. But you have to be on the bench. You really never get to play except for the last minute or two when you're up by 50, which is a lot. Or would you rather play in a team that's 7-20?
Or 20-7.
No. Could be 10-20, let's say like that. And you get to play a whole bunch a lot. Which would you rather be in?
Rather play every game.
Even though you're not on a good team.
Rather play every game.
Yeah. That's exactly what I said yesterday.
No, you were like, I'd stay with you. Were like, I wanted to be on UConn women's team. It's historic, you said.
What planet are you on?
That's exactly what you said.
No, that's exactly what I didn't say.
You were like, I wouldn't mind being on the bench. You're so historic or something like that.
I never even came close to saying that, Arnie. You're making things up here.
No, I thought that's exactly, because I told you the story about my coach who played for John Wooden for 2 years. He never got off the bench, but he won 2 championship rings. He transferred to USC, and he got to play all the time, but he never made it back to the tournament. Said it was the biggest mistake that he ever made in his life was leaving UCLA to play at USC.
Like I said yesterday, I would much rather play.
Yeah.
And you don't have to saying a 7-20 team. I mean, just as well be a 23-4 team.
But that makes it easier. Of course, you want to play for a good team.
Okay, if you want to play for a lousy team.
A lousy team, or would you rather be on an historic team, but you just never get to play?
I'd rather play.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like I said yesterday, I'd rather play, rather score 18 points a game than sit on the end of a bench.
By the way, is this historic, the 100 wins in a row? I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
What was the women's high school team? How many?
CVU won how many? 95,
95.
Was it? 95. Something like that. And they've only lost a couple this year.
Is there only 15 women that play college basketball and they all go to UConn, right? Is that the way it works?
No, but I'll bet you.
Rich.
If you look at the top 20 women's high school players,
yeah.
I bet 4 or 5 of them go to Connecticut on a yearly basis.
You know, even the girls at the end of the bench, they're not all McDonald's All-Americans, but some of them at the end of the bench are McDonald's All-Americans, and they just don't play.
And I mentioned Morgan and Ashley Valley, who were superstars at Rice. They were the best high school girls basketball players for years.
And they went there,
dominated at Rice. They went to UConn and sat on the bench.
But they could have played at any other
But they got to see a lot of neat things. I mean, they played a little bit, but that's because they were ahead by 70 every game.
Maybe it's not so clear-cut to say I'd rather play for a team that's 7-25 than, I mean, look at the coaching. You get to be with Gino Auriemma for 4 years. I mean, that in itself could be worth just invaluable, the experience you're going to get for life.
Unvaluable. But do you get... I love these words that don't exist.
I'm marketing that. Don't steal that word
from
me.
Not really that valuable.
Yes, there you go. Don't steal that from me.
No, but I don't know. This is a tough call because if you're talking about a team that's 7-20, that sort of changes. I could see me leaning a little bit toward... Just because I guarantee you if you talk to those Valley sisters, they'd say they don't have any regrets.
Absolutely.
Zero. They got to see places they never would have seen if they hadn't gone to
UConn.
There
was a guy on the Mets. I can't remember who it was. Remember when the Mets set the record for the most losses in a year. And,
yes.
and they asked him,
Casey Stengel.
They asked him afterwards, a long time afterwards, tell us about the year. And he goes, he summed it up pretty well. He goes, look, I wouldn't want to do it. He goes, I wouldn't have missed it for the world, but I wouldn't want to do it again. And, you know, but that's perfect. He goes, he had a fantastic time that one year,
right.
But he wouldn't want to do it again. And that was a perfect saying.
And he was part of
like
history.
That. Yeah,
he got to be a part of
history,
of something.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they? They don't remember him, but they damn well tell you they remember his team.
You remember the team. So, again, it's not that you're picking a wrong thing here, because either way could certainly be beneficial. But I could see people that are going to want to be on the end of the bench and say, you know what, I'm a good – it must be tough mentally to know that you're good and could play other D1 schools and probably major D1 schools, because women's basketball is certainly – you know, they're looking for talent, and you're just sitting on the bench doing nothing.
And
you know?
Think about, I mean, in all cases, men's, women's basketball, you think those kids enjoy it? Duke, after scoring 35 points a game for 4 years in high school and going to Duke and playing a second?
I think that's different. I think the kids at the end of the bench at Duke are not those type of players.
Don't think they're superstars from high school? Sure they are. Every kid on that Duke bench was a superstar, McDonald's All-American.
I think the guys that never get in, I just think that maybe they're there for like GPA, or maybe they were good high school kids that never could amount to anything. Am I wrong on that?
Brady, what do you think?
Are those McDonald's
that?
All-Americans at the end of Duke's bench?
And not just Duke, but everybody. UNC, all the top 7 or 8 teams. Aren't those all great superstars from high school?
You have 12 scholarships on a basketball team, basically 4 a year. Nearly everybody on that roster has a scholarship. So therefore, if you're good enough to get a scholarship to a Division I program, for the most part, I'm banking on the fact that you were a really good high school player.
Duke.
But you're not like the McDonald's All-Americans where like 100 schools are after you, and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to be at the end of the – well, if you're a McDonald's All-American, you're going to play.
I bet every kid on that Duke bench is a 4 to 5
well,
star
who are the
recruit.
Well, who are the kids at the end of the bench that don't play, though? Are they, you know, are they just good high school
there
players?
There are kids – look, you do have kids that just want to be on the team and want to play in practice. You do have a few of those kids. You do have, you know – Bill Self's son at Kansas was on the team and sat at the end of the bench and never played.
Yeah, Rudy. the Rudy of basketball.
I mean, you have some of those guys. But for the most part, at those key programs, all these guys were stars. I'm sure when you go into the America East, you have some guys that were not great high school players. But I know the last guy on the bench at UAlbany last year was a senior, scored 18 points a game in high school.
Can I beat the last guy on the bench at Albany? Come on now. I think I can.
I always said Chris Sando Harrison Taggart sat at the end of the bench for UVM. They scored 5,000 points combined in high school. The two of them, they never played.
All right, I tell you what, we got to get the last story standing when we get back. And it is a good one, Rich. It's a Valentine's theme one. You're going to love this. if you need a place to go at the last.
That's Cabbage with a K.
Time for one last piece of news.
I'm going to tell you an incredible story.
Wacky or insightful? Gone untouched throughout the entire show. Last story standing.
You're stuck. You got no place to go. You're thinking for Valentine's Day. What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Right. It's Valentine's Day. What do I get?
I got you covered for last-minute ideas. Look no further than Burger King.
Okay. I'll bring the candle.
You're wondering why Burger King? It's your one-stop shop for romance and everything. Listen to this. They're having a special Valentine's Day meal from 6 p.m. until close.
Okay.
6 p.m. till close. Oh, by the way, it's in Israel. But don't let that bother you. I'm sure you can go to a Burger King here. You can get a Valentine's meal. You want to know what comes in the Valentine's meal? You get 2 Whoppers. One for you and one for your Valentine.
Nothing says romance like a Whopper.
Oh, Rich, wait a minute. How about 2 beers?
Burger King?
2 French fries and an adult toy. Yes, so the only catch, you must be 18 years of old. I did find out one of the adult toys is a feather duster. So I'm not making this up. I know you think I'm making this up, don't you?
Beer and adult toy at Burger King.
So now do you change your mind? Now you want to go, don't you, Rich?
Now that's marketing.
Yes, you like, Rich is like, give me some Whoppers. Two Whoppers, two fries, two beers, and an adult toy. So what really do you want more out of Valentine's Day, Rich? You tell me.
Burger King.
Come on now.
Unbelievable.
For those people that are on a budget. So there you go. Brady, what's coming up on Champlain Valley game night? Turn on the mic. It works better that way.
I got some great stuff, but I also, I'm just going to tell you, I'm really disappointed that I didn't get to tell these stories in this hour.
Yes.
I'm going to have to tell the story about the text message that Rich sent me at noon today, which was the most incoherent message ever created in mankind.
You woke me up.
You sent a message that I still don't even think it was English or anything else.
I wasn't awake. This was literally in my sleep.
And I'm also going to tell the story about how I chased a dog around for a mile today.
Oh, I'm going to have to listen to that. For Rich, for Brady, I'm Arnie. We're back tomorrow right here on 101.3 ESPN.
WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh.
This is Bob Emery, head coach of Plattsburgh State Men's Ice Hockey. And you're listening to my Champlain Valley station for sports. 101.3 ESPN.
Huge and complex news out of the NHL just about an hour ago. It was announced that Claude Julien, the fired head coach of the Boston Bruins, has a new gig. He's now the new head coach of the Montreal Canadiens. It is the second time that Julien has replaced Michel Therrien in Montreal. Therrien fired despite the fact that the Canadiens, the number one team right now in the Atlantic Division, but they're fifth overall in the Eastern Conference. We'll see how this one plays out over the remainder of the regular season. Since Julien's firing, the Bruins are 3-0, though, and they get ready for a West Coast swing. Patriot fans who are upset at the NFL, well, they have a little more reason to be mad at the NHL because both the Steelers and the Seahawks teams that were reported for not being truthful on their team injury reports, well, they will have no consequence, no penalties handed out from the NFL. The Red Sox first pitchers and catchers workout in Fort Myers, Florida was today. We had on Tom Karen of Nesson, and also had on the president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski. You can find those interviews online at 1013ESPN.com. Within the hour, Champlain Valley game night is next. It's the Cat's Den, and we'll have an interview with Jim Hart, who's the head coach of the Albany City Rocks, the program that brought UVM, Anthony Lamb. We'll talk to him in about 5 minutes. All that and more, Champlain Valley game night, 1013ESPN.com, 1013ESPN, and the 1013ESPN app.